If you're coming up to your 30s or already past that milestone, you're probably wondering if your expiry date has come and gone. Everywhere you look in the music industry, it seems to be filled with fresh-faced kids straight out of year 10 and straight onto radio. The reality is a little more complex, and there are opportunities for musicians of any age. I'm going to talk to you about what you're up against as an older musician first, and then once you're thoroughly depressed and despondent, I'll talk to you about where the opportunities lie for artists in their 30s, 40s and beyond. I'm going to cover what to do when you're just about to go over the hill, and also what to do when you're well and truly over the hill and down into the valley. In other words, an old fart who still really wants to find an audience for your music. There is a way to do it. Now, if you're under 25 and listening to this, thank you. But it's really not info that you're going to be that interested in. My advice to anyone in their teens and early 20s is simple. Get things happening as soon as you can. Being young in this industry is a huge advantage, so go hard now. Write as many songs as you can, gig as much as you can, and make the best recording you can. With me. Yeah, make it with me. If you are 22 now and we record something today, and someone decides to sign it tomorrow, it might still be another year before it is actually heard by the world. I've seen it take 3 years between demo and actual release to the marketplace. Okay, for everyone born before 1988, let's get into it. Firstly, I want to say that I would never turn down the opportunity to produce a quality artist on the basis of age. If someone is good and 48, then I have no problem with it. If they have expectations of being the next Miley Cyrus, well, I might have to help them align their target a little. But at heart, I want to make good music with good people, regardless of age. And even then, if someone is 48 and they truly want to sound like Miley Cyrus and they can honestly do that music well, then sure, why not? But I will certainly tell them that the industry simply will never really buy someone that old doing music that young. It's fair to say that we're in a new world where the so-called industry has given way to the internet. In theory, the 48-year-old Miley Cyrus type artist could forge her own fan base and avoid the manager and label gatekeepers with their fixed ideas. But as it stands right now in July 2013, I haven't seen anyone effectively do that. For the time being, radio, managers, and labels still hold all the keys to success. As artists, we still need their financial investment, legwork, connections, and expertise to reach a large audience. As such, we have to look at it from their perspective if we are going to make headway. So, it's worth examining why the music industry is so obsessed with youth. If a song is good and makes you feel something, I mean, who cares if the singer's 48? But unfortunately, record labels and radio seem to place an arbitrary age limit on newcomer artists. The thinking tends to be that the whole mainstream business is driven by the tastes of 8 to 15-year-olds. They tend to be the most obsessed fans, ready to buy anything that One Direction, etc. put out. And that seems to be the case. Like, for an act squarely targeted at that preteen or young teen audience, the music is really just an inoffensive soundtrack to the visual and the fantasy. Like, maybe the next One Direction song will be a little bit better than the last, or maybe a little bit worse. But the sales really come down to the level of hysteria the kids have on the day of the single's actual release. This might be surprising, but the dream for many music executives is to actually take the quality of the music out of the equation. Because the quality of the song is highly subjective. Like, sure, the 46-year-old boss of the label likes it, but he doesn't really know if a 12-year-old will. So if they can generate so much hype that the kids will buy literally anything the artist puts out with a chorus and the word baby in it, then great. Like, I think Justin Bieber's a great example of that. In my opinion, he has barely had one truly memorable song, say in the way that Katy Perry has, but it's good enough for the fans who simply want to sing along to something while staring into his eyes. As long as it doesn't completely suck, then that's fine. Now, of course, I'm talking about the poppiest, most commercial music here, but it tends to hold true for other genres as well. If you're talking about indie world, the age range of fans who drive the market is older, but still decidedly under 25. Big hit records come from tapping into the somewhat naive passion of these younger fans. Fans who've got the time and energy to get onto forums and furiously defend or trash, you know, the new Lana Del Rey record. Fans who will watch a video 50 times on YouTube and learn all the words to every song on a new album. As you reach your late 20s and beyond, other priorities take over, and there is less time and inclination to religiously follow the movements of your favourite artists. if you happen to catch something on radio that you like and the DJ, you know, actually tells you who it is, you might seek it out if you remember, which you probably won't because you've got that big-ass project to get finished at work or you've got to finish up that bathroom renovation. Now, maybe you're in your 30s or 40s and saying, hey, but I'm still a big music fan. Well, you know, maybe you are, but are you genuinely seeking out anything new? Or just listening to the same old stuff you always did, perhaps buying the occasional new record by a band you became a fan of 15 years ago? How many debut records or singles did you buy last year? If you're like most people over 30, the answer is probably none. Compare that to a 14-year-old who doesn't care what was popular in 2004. They only care about what is new, and the music business runs on what is current. They can't sell you the debut Coldplay record again. It doesn't matter if you still play it every day and consider yourself a super music head. You're not buying any new product now, and that is all the people involved in the music business today care about. Smoking weed to your old vinyl copy of Led Zeppelin 4 may make you a super cool music fan in a sense, but it doesn't add any new income to the music business as it stands in 2013. The truth is, the over 30s market is hard to reach. They're often listening to radio stations that play pretty much no new music. They're not reading any music-related press or scouring YouTube for new songs. Perhaps you, as a musician, are, but by the mid-30s, most people have their record collection mostly set in stone. By comparison, the under-25 market is out there actively looking for something new to listen to and get excited by. Okay, so these are vast, vast generalizations, and there are plenty of young kids who hate mass-marketed pop music and plenty of people in their 30s and 40s who live and die for new releases. I mean, I'm one of them. But the music business has to base its decisions on the most likely outcome. And the most likely outcome is that if you target a younger market, they will be more receptive and more passionate. So what does this all add up to? Essentially, labels and managers want to sign someone young enough that the target audience can relate to. It would be an incredibly bold label to sign a 40-year-old guy who looks like a maths teacher, no matter how current the music. Yes, there's a chance the kids won't care how old the person is or how he looks, but it's a hell of a gamble in an extremely risky industry. Probably better for the label to wait for somebody who is roughly as good musically and only 22. Now, there are a couple of other reasons why older musicians tend to be overlooked by the music business. Firstly, think about it from a manager's perspective. If you were 31, you were probably also thinking about getting married and having kids, assuming you haven't taken that leap already. A manager or label will have that as a definite consideration. Like, they're going to want you to be constantly available and willing to fulfill a practically impossible schedule of early morning radio shows, all-day travel, gigs, and late-night parties. They want to be able to send you anywhere at the drop of a hat, even if there is the slightest chance it will increase your profile and sell records or tickets. Well-known artists I've worked with, or known socially, have looked at their upcoming schedule from the label or management company and asked, when am I meant to sleep? Or when am I going to see my girlfriend? Additionally, the industry tends to be quite sexist. There is a high chance that a 31-year-old female will want to have a baby sometime in the next few years. Of course, a high percentage of 31-year-old males want to have a baby too, but the practicalities are obviously different. Getting pregnant and having a child will take you off the road and out of circulation for a year, probably two. If you're still in the early stages of your career, that kind of break is likely to kill any momentum you have generated. Most managers will be hoping for at least a 5-year clear run where they can work you into the ground. Of course, you can swear black and blue to a potential manager that you have no interest in having kids and you'll be putting your music first, but from their perspective, it adds up to a riskier proposition. Aside from the time away from your career, having a child tends to take away some of that fire, like the mix of pure passion and pure insanity you need to be a professional musician. Most people tend to mellow and want to spend more time at home when they have kids. It's just natural. You don't really want to be in a tarago trekking across Australia eating servo sandwiches. Much of the music business is a hard slog and it takes immense dedication. Dedication which tends to wane when you have a newborn that needs you at home. Now, none of this is particularly fair, but it pays to remember that everyone in the music business is first and foremost an entrepreneur, especially managers, agents, studio people. There's no holiday pay or unfair dismissal laws. People do what they want, whether it's fair or not. And it's not just a question of kids and family. It's also the financial commitments that come with being a proper adult. I remember when I was 25 and signed to Mushroom Records. At the time, I was a few years into the business of being a producer. Between rent, car payments, phone, electricity, equipment upkeep and whatnot, I had sizable monthly expenses to cover, and I was doing just enough production work to manage it. Then I got the Mushroom promo schedule. Effectively, it was going to require me to be on the road for 6 months, and that was just the initial plan. I had a small advance from the label, which I'd already spent on gear. The promo tour would provide a small daily allowance for food and maybe some hair gel, but all of my regular expenses would still be waiting back at home. When I asked the Mushroom guy about this, his response was, well, we all have to make sacrifices. In other words, work for 6 months without pay, and there might be a pot of gold at the end of it. I simply wasn't in a position to do that, and it was one of the reasons the music never took off. Also, I wasn't really that good. Anyway, the perfect type of musician for a label is someone with very few ties or commitments. If you're going to make it, you have to be willing to travel endlessly, which means a long time away from home. You might need to go to America for 12 months, and no, there won't be a provision for girlfriends or kids to come along, unless you can fund that out of your own pocket. Everything will be lean and mean until you reach a certain level. You somehow need to be in a position where you can give up your entire life for months or years at a time, then return to it and still keep food on the table. This is all well and good when the royalties start flowing, but in the early stages it can be a struggle. That's definitely something very few musos have considered. So where does that leave the older musician? What is there to do? Just lay down and die and give up the dream while a bunch of young whippersnappers have all the good times? Shit, no. It's more about adjusting your approach. Most importantly, it's a question of genre. I mean, I can say with all confidence that you cannot be a 35-year-old boy band, just by definition, or a 38-year-old Kesha. Like, sure, the Backstreet Boys are well into their 30s now, and one day Kesha may be still kicking on as a 38-year-old, heaven forbid, but the focus has to be how old were they when they got started? Effectively, the poppier and more teeny the music, the younger you really need to be to perform it. If you're talking about rock, indie, or country, a different set of rules apply. It's obvious when you think about it, the more mature the music, the more we are willing to accept someone mature singing it. Pete Murray was well into his 30s when he finally broke, and that's if we are to believe his actual published birth date. I'm sure it comes as no surprise to find that artists fudge their age constantly. There are tons of 32-year-olds that advertise themselves as 25. It's so common it's half expected. Whether you agree with the ethics of out-and-out fibbing about your age is up to you. My perspective is, we're in the entertainment business, and if someone believing you are 7 years younger than you actually are gets your music out to a public who enjoy it, like, what's the harm? It's hardly the crime of the century. Of course, there is a small matter of whether you actually look 25, and that's a whole other discussion. If you want my cold and calculated advice, give yourself a decent styling and commit to being the youngest age you could ever pass for. This is an intensely competitive business, and you have to have everything on your side. Is it right to dupe a label or manager in this way? Well, is it right for them to dismiss you because you were 35, even though you're brilliant? These are questions only you can answer. I know of one situation where a 33-year-old artist told a manager she was 25. The manager was none the wiser and ultimately told the industry she was 22. As Homer Simpson says, it takes two to lie and one to listen. It's up to you whether a white lie like that would really bother you. I would simply say it's been done a million times in the past and it will be done another million times in the future. Getting back to genre, rock and indie fans are certainly not as precious about age. Being 28 isn't a huge impediment to breaking through in those genres. If you're pushing past 30, you probably want to do a few things. Firstly, you've got to keep yourself current, and that relates to your music and your look. I really wish this stupid, superficial shit wasn't part of the industry, but for all of the reasons I outlined before, you are going to need to tap into a young market if you're going to reach any kind of level of success. Looking and sounding like you're from 1996 just probably isn't going to help. As a producer, I'm regularly helping people bring their sound into the current era. It's curious how quickly musicians let that slip. It's often because they want to play the music they enjoyed when they started 15 years ago. Like, that's all well and good, but you have to listen to what's happening in your genre now and adjust accordingly. One of the main things I do for people is find something totally current that they can relate to musically. A typical conversation I have is, okay, your music sounds very much like this band from 2001. Who is doing that kind of thing now, and how are they doing it? And more importantly, which new artists are doing it? Very often, I show people that there is still exciting music being made in their genre, but it has evolved. They suddenly realise with a few tiny steps to the left, the music they want to make still does have a place in the world, but without those tiny adjustments, it will just seem like an older artist still ploughing the same field that the music industry left to rot 10 years ago. Now, this point bears repeating. I often work with older musicians who complain that all this new stuff is crap. The reality is they just stop paying attention. I can always find something that came out this year related to the genre that they love, and you can see their eyes light up, a sudden realization that the music they love is still being made, although probably in a slightly different way. Now, if you can't or don't know how to update your style, then you need a producer to help you. Likewise, if you don't have a clue how to present yourself visually, you need someone with expertise to give you some tips. By the way, I'm definitely not that person. My hairstyle hasn't changed since 1992. But I can safely say my music tastes have. I know music, not hair. Okay, so you have to look and sound as current as you can. This doesn't mean turning your Elton John-esque ballads into dubstep tracks. It means seeking out the artists who are doing piano ballads like that now and becoming familiar with how those kinds of songs are treated in this era. If you are the lead singer of a band, you also have the advantage of surrounding yourself with younger-looking musicians. I realise this can be difficult, especially if your bandmates are also some of your best friends, but if you are all 35, you're up against it. If the lead singer is 35 and fills out the rest of the band with 25-year-olds, it starts to create a different impression. As I said, it's not easy to kick out the older guys and replace them with younger guys, especially younger guys you musically relate to, but if you don't do it, somebody else will. Even if you can just replace the non-songwriting members, bassist and drummer for example, with younger guys, it will only help. To summarise, you want the most contemporary sound and look you can manage, and the youngest band members you can find. I always recommend that older solo artists put a band together and market under a band name for this very reason. It gives you the opportunity to bring your average age down. The photo now suggests young bunch of dudes rather than one older looking dude, or chicks as the case may be. Forming a band also takes some of the harsh spotlight away from you, and it becomes more about being cool and less about being a star. So, what if you're simply too old to ever pass for 28 or even 38? You could surround yourself with a bunch of 19-year-olds and still stick out as one of the guy's dads. If that's the case, it's probably better to be realistic about it. There are a few ways to look at it. One is simply just make the music you have always wanted to make, even if it sounds like something from 1985. I've definitely done that with people and it's a load of fun. Not everybody wants to rule the musical universe. Some people just want to finally hear a completed version of the music that has been in their head all of these years. Now, if you're smart enough to realise that it will fall to you alone to market it, and you don't mind, then it's only ever going to be a positive experience. If you want to be a bit more ambitious than that, you can tailor your sound to suit a person of your age. In many cases, that means turning what was rock or pop into country. There are many country artists in their 40s. Age isn't any real limitation in that genre. Now, going country is a whole other discussion, but if you are basically writing commercial rock or acoustic songs, it isn't a major step. If your music fits more into a folk, jazz, musical theatre or semi-classical world, much of what I've said doesn't really apply to you anyway. The approach to marketing is going to be completely different, and the fans are likely to be much older. That kind of stuff is really outside the scope of the mainstream music business, and you can happily be 51 with 9 kids. Now, there's also the phantom genre of adult contemporary. I guess classic artists like Phil Collins and Sting now sit in that world. I say phantom genre because it's difficult to find an entry point as a new artist. It's not a question of whether there is an audience for that music, it's a question of how do you reach them. There are plenty of radio stations that play that music, but as a rule, they don't play anything new, or at least nothing from new artists. If they did, listeners would probably switch to a radio station that didn't. Having said that, we're in a new world where new opportunities will present themselves. If you want to make adult contemporary kind of music, or 1996 rock, then make it and see where the chips fall. There may be a way to get it out there in the future. It's hard to say. My best advice is really not to worry too much about all that stuff and start thinking about film and TV opportunities. I cover that in the chapter Writing Songs for Other Artists. Your music will still need to sound fairly up to date, but that has more to do with who produces it than anything else. For film and TV placements, your age is completely irrelevant. Only the song matters, and it is the perfect way to reach an older audience too. I've had music that I've produced in dozens of shows, like Gossip Girl, Packed to the Rafters, NCIS, Bondi Rescue, stacks of fairly crummy US cable shows that you may or may not have heard of. But the thing is, all of these placements pay decent money. I have a couple of guys, both close to 40, who come to see me each year with another batch of songs to record, and they fund the recording purely with the proceeds of these placements. And that now they have a head start in finding an audience. It's not easy, but it's an opportunity that didn't even exist 10 years ago. Much of this music is now sourced by independent publishers, who are literally desperate for high-quality, well-produced music in all genres. They have no interest in who the artist is, only what the song is like. And these publishers aren't that difficult to get to if you have something that sounds like the real deal. Now, for a fair bit more on that, have a listen to my previous chapter. All right, thanks for listening. If you've got something good for me to hear, whether you're 16 or 60, please get in touch and let's see what's possible. As a final thought, I would add, don't procrastinate. If you are serious about making music your life, get a wriggle on before your window closes. Thanks.